G'day, church at 10:30. It's lovely to see you all this morning. It's great to be here as we look at this very last section of Ephesians for the term. My name's Tristan, by the way. How about we pray and then we'll spend a bit of time having a look at what Rex just read out for us. Let's pray together. Father God, thanks so much for this letter of Ephesians that we've been able to read through over the last month or so. Thanks for all of the things that you've taught us. As we think about this very last part, Father, please continue to help us to understand the mystery of the gospel in all of its wonder and power. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my kids came home from school the other day and they told me that they'd been informed by friends that World War III is about to start. They were very untroubled by hearing this news from their friend, but they were wondering what I was going to do about it. I really don't know the answer to that. It is troubling, isn't it? Things that are going on in the world at the moment, the war in Iran, it's really terrible. All of that death and destruction and injustice, it's more gut-wrenching the more you think about it. And of course, it's not just Iran. There's things happening in Lebanon and half a dozen other Gulf countries, not to mention Ukraine. And even though Australia's not involved in any of those wars, there is in fact so many wars going on around the world today that right now Australia is in its longest ever period of continuous warfare. In all of our history, this is the longest that we've continuously been at war. 27 years now and counting. And you know, as much as petrol prices really hurt, it's not just petrol prices, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, maybe this is World War III. How would we know? But look, as anxiety-inducing as all of these things are that are going on in the world at the moment, because they are really awful and worrying, as worrying as it all is, what we discover in this last part of Ephesians is that all of these things, as bad as they are, they're nothing compared to another war that was going on in Ephesus. The Apostle Paul writes to these Christians in Ephesus, and here in this last part of the letter, we discover that there's a war going on there that is much more serious than what's going on in Iran and more significant than any war that Australia is involved in at the moment. It's a war that is far more dangerous and far more desperate and far more deadly. And it's worth us noticing this war because it's a war that's still going on today. And yet, despite all of that, and in fact more than all of that, what Paul really wants us to know this morning is this war, as serious as it is, we can stand firm and confident in Christ Jesus. We can stand firm in Christ because of the victory of Christ. We can be confident because of the armor that Christ has given us. But before we get to those things, Paul's going to tell us about the war and how serious it is. It's a war that's dangerous because it's a spiritual war. It's a war against the forces of Satan. So have a look with me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally." Now, as we read this, the danger of reading this last part of Ephesians is that we sort of mentally separate it from everything that we've read so far in the letter. We do want to notice how this fits into the flow of Ephesians and how it sort of finishes the letter up for us. So as we read this last bit, the boys are going to throw up some key moments from Ephesians up on the screen, but if you've got your Bible there, all the better in keeping track as we read through. So, verse 10 again, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That sounds really ominous, doesn't it? I mean, at one level, that couple of sentences is terrifying. The devil's schemes. spiritual forces of evil, things going on in the heavenly realms. Honestly, pretty easy to get carried away wondering what these devil schemes might be. Maybe we look around at world events. Maybe we look at current cultural trends. But look, Paul has actually already told us what the devil's schemes are. Hopefully you remember back in chapter 4, Jason helped us think about this a couple of weeks ago. The devil's schemes are things like anger that leads to sin. Things like lies. The devil's schemes are things like unchecked lust and impurity. Unhelpful words, gossip and slander, stealing. All of those unloving things that Paul told us earlier in the letter to put off so as not to give the devil a foothold. Put them off because they're not how we learn Christ. These are the things that the devil uses to fracture us and break our unity and stop us growing in maturity in Christ. Here's the first thing worth noticing in this last part of the letter. We know what the devil's schemes are. There's this really old Chinese book written about war thousands of years ago. It's still probably the most influential book about war. It's called The Art of War by Sun Tzu. And the most famous line in the book, you've probably heard it heaps of times, the most famous line in the book is, know your enemy. Right? Know your enemy. Friends, we know our enemy. Our enemy, the devil, uses things like anger and fights and frustrations and disappointments and discouragements. He uses those things to undermine our unity with one another and with Jesus. And the reason that the devil does that is that he hates what we are. Do you remember back in chapter 3? Back in chapter 3 in Ephesians, we read that our unity here at church at 10:30 makes the manifold wisdom of God known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. What God has done in us by bringing us from death to life and from being far away to being brought near, it puts God's genius on display to the universe. The devil hates that. Of course he does. He is actively scheming against our unity and actively scheming against our maturity in Christ. And Paul writes this last bit of Ephesians to say to us, don't forget that. So, as we've been reading through Ephesians, if you've been wrestling with the things that we've been thinking about, especially the things in this last couple of chapters, if you've been making a particular effort to keep our unity and use our diversity so that we grow in maturity, thank you so much for doing that. You have been taking a stand against the schemes of the devil. If you've been going out of your way to speak gospel truth in gospel love to others here at church so that our whole church body builds itself up in love, good on you. You've been taking a stand against the devil's schemes. Keep doing that. If you've been trying to live different, you've been trying to live like a child of God and walk in love like Christ loved us, keep on doing that. That's standing firm in Christ. If you have been, even in the last few days, trying to do what we thought about last Sunday, and you've been husbands and wives selflessly submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, and parents, if you've been trying to bring up your children to know Jesus, teenagers, if you've been obeying your parents in the Lord, you are standing against the devil's schemes. Because the devil would love us, would love to distance us from each other and distance us from Jesus. And it would be a grave mistake for us to underestimate the power of the devil to do that. But you know what? It would be so much worse for us to underestimate the power of Jesus. We stand firm because Jesus is victorious. And Paul has so much confidence in the victory of Jesus. You can see his confidence in verse 13. Have a look. He says, therefore, right? because the devil is waging war against us, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Now, once again, the day of evil sounds a little bit worrying, but if you were paying careful attention last week, you would have noticed that the days are evil now. Today is the day, every day, the devil wants to separate us from Christ. But Paul says, you can stand your ground. You have been given the full armor of God. God has already done everything that is needed for you to be safe from the devil's schemes. And once again, we have already read about this in Ephesians. Back in chapter 1, it says that Christ has been raised from the dead. He is seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and God has placed all things at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is king in the heavenly realms. The devil may be a force of power in the heavenly realms, but he is nothing compared to Jesus. In the heavenly realms, the devil is like a lion at the zoo. I went to Taronga Zoo in Sydney with my family last year. The lion experience at Taronga Zoo is great. You go into this little area and you get this almost 360 degree view of the lion enclosure. And the lions can walk up right like within centimetres of you. They're right there. They're enormous. 200 kilograms of pure muscle, right? Jaws that could crunch your bones, claws that could rip you to shreds, and you feel like you could just reach out and give them a pat. Of course, you can't. There's impenetrable glass keeping you safe. Those lions are not harmless, but at the same time, they are. If you climbed in, if you're on the wrong side of the fence, you would be terrified. You should be terrified. But as long as you're on the right side, you relax. Enjoy your day at the zoo. Lick your ice cream. Take a selfie. Hold your kid up for a closer view. It doesn't matter. Turn your back. You're safe. In Christ, we are safe. Because the devil is powerless against those who have the full armor of God. There's been times over the years where people have asked me why we don't spend more time here at BPC talking about the reality of the devil. And it's a fair question because the devil is real. But look, right here is the answer. The fact that there are lions in Sydney doesn't make the news. And Satan gets very little airtime in the Bible for the same reason. He is utterly powerless in the face of Jesus. Jesus is king in the heavenly realms. And with that confidence, Paul says, put on the armor of God. And he describes the armor in verse 14. Have a look at verse 14. He says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The picture that Paul is using here is the picture of a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier with all of his different bits of gear, and each different bit of gear sort of corresponds to an aspect of our new life in Christ. It's not some magical formula for the Christian life. This is just the things that we've been reading about in Ephesians. Paul has already given us all of these different bits of armor. He's just telling us now to put it on. Make it part of who you are. Do these things that he's been talking about. Put on the belt of truth. Back in chapter 4, Paul told the Ephesians to speak the truth in love so that the church, our church, isn't blown back and forth, but instead we build ourselves up in love as every part does its work. Friends, put on the belt of truth. Don't give up on speaking gospel truth in gospel love to one another here at BPC. It's how we strengthen our church family against the devil's schemes. The breastplate of righteousness. In chapter 4, Paul told the Ephesians to put off the old self and put on the new self that's been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what we want to do here at BPC. We want to put off anger and sin and stealing and slander, all of those things. And instead we want to be kind and compassionate and forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. Put on righteousness. The gospel of peace. In chapter 4, Paul told the Ephesians to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. And so we want to work really hard to keep our unity and peace. The shield of faith. In chapter 3, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that out of God's glorious riches, he would strengthen them so that Christ might dwell in their hearts through faith. God has given us his Spirit to help us grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, to grow our faith. The armor of God, it's all here. Just put it on. This is a picture of putting on the armor. So that here at BPC, we stand firm. So that we're a church that never moves on from the gospel, never puts it down, never leaves it behind, never gets distracted from it or deceived by something else. We do not want to be like a Roman soldier marching off to war who's accidentally left his armor at home in the closet. If you're not excited about standing firm in the gospel, if you're not convicted of a need to stand firm in the gospel, can I suggest that a great thing to do would be this week, go back and read the first three chapters of Ephesians again. Extraordinary few chapters. Those first three chapters just emphatically reminded us of the glorious riches of belonging to Jesus. It told us how before the foundation of the world, we were loved, we were chosen for adoption, we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We've been forgiven and included and saved. God's grace has been lavished upon us. Once we were dead in our sin, now we've been made alive in Christ. We were separate, we were excluded, foreigners, hopeless and godless, and now we've been brought near to God. All of this is an extraordinarily generous gift of grace. The gospel in us is the manifold wisdom of God. It is beautiful in its many layers. It is stunning from every angle. It is breathtaking every time we come back to it. We do not want the devil to rob us of those glorious riches. And so we stand firm in our gospel armor. When we do, the devil's schemes are nothing. One of my kids started playing cricket this year. Before it started, I borrowed some kid-sized cricket gear from friends, and I also bought some gear off Marketplace. Gloves and shoes and pads, helmet, bat. And we went down to the cricket nets to have a bit of a hit. And I showed my boy how to put all of this cricket gear on. And as we were doing that, he said to me, "Dad, this is a lot. Do I have to wear all of this? I can hardly walk." Thing is, I am never going to let anyone hurl cricket balls at my son unless he's wearing the right gear. You know, without protection, he's going to get hurt. With it, he's fine. We have been made children of God. There is no way our Heavenly Father is going to let us stand against the devil's schemes without everything that we need to stand firm. Here at BPC, Ephesians says, our church puts God's manifold wisdom on display to the universe. Of course the devil hates that. Of course he's waging war against us. The devil would love to hurt us. He'd love for us to be plagued by disunity. He'd love for us to be bruised by bitterness. He'd love us to be easily deceived and distracted from the truth of the gospel. He'd love to see us fail miserably at living lives of love and selfless kindness and submission to one another. He does not want Jesus to be honored here at BPC. No wonder he is waging war against us. So don't give him an inch. We belong to Jesus. And in Christ we have every spiritual blessing. We were dead and now we're alive. We were far away and we've been brought near. So let's keep our unity and let's use our diversity and let's grow in maturity and let's put off the old and put on the new. And let's walk in love and let's submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And let's stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let's take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let's take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And let's stand firm in the glorious riches of Christ. I'll pray that we do. Father God, thank you so much for making us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sin. Father, we know that's nothing that we've done. It's all a gracious gift from you. Thank you for the way this letter of Ephesians opens the eyes of our hearts to the unsearchable riches of Jesus. God, now that we belong to Jesus, please help us to live lives worthy of our calling. Please may we not just know the gospel, but live the gospel so as to stand firm. Amen.